This show is sponsored by author Jen Nixon. If you are looking for action-packed sci-fi, fantasy, or paranormal stories with a dash of romance, check out one of Jen's fast-paced and pulse-pounding series. Her books are available on Amazon Kindle and in paperback. To learn more and read free samples, visit her website, www.jennixon.com. That's Jen with two N's, Nixon.com. You've tuned in to Misbehaving, a podcast where we get up close and personal with today's most imaginative authors. Every episode, we'll be sitting down with a new writer to discuss their magical worlds, futuristic visions, and how they bring their wildest ideas to the page. The guiding light for today's episode is the always effulgent Jen Nixon. Jen, what's shaking in PA today?
Oh, the weather. It's always the weather when we talk, because, you know, I like the rain. You don't get enough rain.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's like weird up here because it's really cold today, and it was like 70 last week. Mm. And I think this is what it's going to be like all summer.
Oh, you think so? You're going to have cold and hot?
Yeah.
I want it to be, if it's going to be summer, it needs to be summer. It needs to decide.
Right.
Make
up your mind, weather.
Right, right. I got sunburned this weekend, just a little. Which is weird because I run, you know, run or walk every day. And, you know, during the day. So right. You'd think my neck would be okay. Nope. I was just out in the sun just enough that got a little burnt. So.
Oh, boy. Well, make sure you put some aloe on that and take care.
I will.
So who do we have on the podcast this week?
I am very excited to introduce our listeners to Tony Good. Tony is a writer with a deep passion for the supernatural romance genre. Her published works on Amazon are a testament to her love for werewolves, vampires, and witches. She has also been writing fan fiction since 2005, starting with soap opera fanfics for One Life to Live, and then expanding, wait for this, to popular supernatural shows like True Blood, Vampire Diaries, and Jen, Supernatural. Her fanfics have gained a dedicated following, and she's proud of her ability to captivate readers with her imaginative and engaging storytelling. Tony loves creating stories that transport readers to other worlds, introduces them to unforgettable characters. Writing is not just a hobby for Tony. It is a passion that drives her to keep creating. Tony, it is so good to have you on Myth Behaving. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me, you guys.
Oh, welcome. Yeah, it's great to have you.
Yeah, no, this is perfect.
Fan fiction. Those were the best two words. I started kind of in fan fiction too. My very first fan fiction was Star Wars. Young Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon, yes. And I actually wrote a character in it that I wound up using that name for my YA book that I actually wound up getting published.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that, like, starting in fan fiction, it just opens up the world to writing, like, your own books. And I love it. And, you know, I have my own books now, but I still do write fan fiction, especially if I kind of get, like, in a writing slump. And it's just fun, mm-hmm. you know, just to create, like, a whole nother... Well, I like to do whole nother worlds. I use the original characters, but I just place them in weird, you know, situations and scenarios.
Background, right?
Yeah, we talked about fan fiction where we think a lot of spec fic writers start with fan fiction. You're like, man, I really love what Tolkien did here, but I hated this. And then they go off from there. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. that's exactly how it is. And then eventually you just start saying, you know what? I should just write my own stuff and see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it makes it an easy transition into writing your own things. And like I said, when I started off with soap operas, I'm aging myself now because this was a while ago, but I was obsessed with like romance and all that. But as I got a little bit older and I got into my late 20s, 30s, True Blood, all the, you know, supernatural shows. I mean, Supernatural, I can't even, that show was my life for a very long time.
Okay, and, so now, not a lot of people know this, but I do a perfect Sam and Dean Winchester impression.
Oh, I want to hear.
I do too. Are you ready?
Yes.
Sammy, Dean.
That's actually really good.
Right?
Idiot.
I love that you did fan fiction, because I feel like Supernatural itself is kind of a fan fiction to all Supernatural. I felt like they just pulled Supernatural stories and then retold them. Is that so? I think
Yeah.
that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah. I mean, it's how, so one of the stories that I wrote, I didn't like how it ended. I'm sure a lot of people did not like how Supernatural ended. It was
No.
just so the I mean, we could talk forever about the last couple episodes,
Yep.
and we
Yes.
could talk about Sam's wig that he had on at the end, which was awful. I mean, just
Yes.
such a disgrace to the show. But I
Yes.
hated how it ended, so I decided that I would continue on with having Dean be in heaven and be able to get out and help his brother.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah,
Yep.
it
There's no
was a
reason they can't come back again because they
yeah.
came back every season.
Every time.
Absolutely. They could always come back. I mean, there could always be something that happens to make them come back, and maybe one day. I think the same thing about True Blood too, though, that I don't know if you guys are fans of that show, but
Watched it, yes.
yeah, I feel like that again, I don't know what happens with the last season of these shows when they're trying to end them, that it's just like a slow murder of watching your characters like, oh, I can't believe they're doing this. Like every show.
I can't think of I there was one show I watched recently. I can't remember what it was now because all the other shows that have actually ended when they wanted to end have still ended terribly. Game of Thrones, How I Met Your Mother, Lost. I can keep going. I just binge Manifest and I want my 2.5 weeks back because
I know. Wasn't that awful how that ended too? I can't even think of a show that ended in a way that was okay. I'm actually currently rewatching Once Upon a Time,
That one didn't go either. That one
it
was
was awful.
terrible.
What? I mean, but I love like the first and second season, and then I don't know what happened. It's almost like they're just pulling for straws, trying to find more story to write.
I know what happens in some cases. In some case, there's three things. The first case is they either get canceled too early or there's too many episodes per season. That's what happened with Lost. They said, you guys have to stretch this shit out. And they're like, no, we have a story. And they're like, no, this is so good. We're making so much money. You have to stretch it out. They're like, fine. So 15 filler episodes per season, and we have 5 episodes of story. So that's what happened with Lost. And then there's I'm already losing my train of thought because it's just so infuriating. Or they listen to the fans. Now, take this with a grain of salt. There are sometimes you should listen to the fans. Most times you should not listen to the fans, especially if you have your own story and a whole arc set up. Now, I understand things change and actors get along better with certain things and you see little ships, here and there.
Yeah.
Don't listen to the fans if you have a completed story. If you don't know where you're going, then that's fine. Take some things here and there. But yeah, it's so important. I'm always thinking of the ending of my books before I even start.
Oh, same. I usually know the ending before I know anything else. I know how I want to end. I just need to get there. I actually have a really hard time getting beta readers because of that, because I know where I want to go, and then when I end up getting beta readers, they want me to go in a different way. And sometimes, especially in my beginning days, many years ago when I first started writing, using beta readers, I relied on them so heavily. But at the end of the day, the story didn't even feel like mine, and it was so hard to write.
Yeah, I think that's a lesson every writer has to get past. Like, the beta reader is not there to dictate where the story could go. The beta reader is to give you feedback on where you took it. And that is a hard one.
Exactly.
That's a hard one, because you want to please people. You want people to enjoy their time reading. And
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I do a lot more, and I don't know how you guys feel about this. I do a lot more audiobooks now than actual reading. What are you guys' thoughts on that? Because I know that there's like a lot of controversy where people say that, it's not actually, reading if you're listening to an audiobook, but
I'm not
I don't
getting
know, Mike.
involved in that debate at
Oh,
all.
I will. I
I'm
will.
not. I'll
I
stay out of
will.
it.
And go no, for it. It's you're experiencing the story. And mm-hmm. and before audiobooks, there was really only one way to experience the story, right? You had to read it. But now that audiobooks are so prevalent, I find it just so enjoyable. I like to listen to audiobooks when I run. And so there are books like I've gone back to classics. I've gone back to Frankenstein and Dracula because I'd read parts of them for classes, mm-hmm. but I'd never read them in totality. And so now I've read them in my head. I know the story. I've experienced what Stoker was on about. And so I think it's great. I love audiobooks. Like I still read, but I love audiobooks. Mm-hmm. I think anybody who thinks you haven't read the book, whatever. Like purity. Okay.
Yeah. And I think, and it also comes down to the narrator. Mm-hmm. And I think, honestly, Rob, I'm going to go back to that thing.
All right.
I have this thing, Tony. It's called anaphasia, where I cannot. I cannot picture images in my head. So if I close my eyes and you tell me to picture an apple, I see nothing but black darkness, nothing. So I'm thinking maybe I don't like audio books as much as reading because mm-hmm. reading, I'm seeing a page, I'm seeing the word, and I'm saying, like, as I read, I say the words in my head. Like, mm-hmm. I read mm-hmm. in my head. Read, you know, don't read aloud, read in your head. I read in my head. So maybe that's why I don't like audiobooks as much as reading.
And that's fair, right, Tony? Hey. That's fair.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. My daughter, me and her both see books in our head. We see audiobooks in our head. She writes as well. And when I write, I see scenes in my head and then I write them down. But my sons, they don't see anything. Mm. Like they're like, you see things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't that weird?
It is. But, you know, I don't know any other way, just like you don't know any other way with how you see yours. So mm-hmm. I can totally see how an audiobook would not be enjoyable, you know, mm-hmm. if you can't picture it actually happening, because that's why I like it. I like it because I can do other things and not have to fully pay attention like with reading and still be able to, you know, capture the story. Now, that being said, the only audiobooks that I actually listen to are ones that I've read before. Otherwise, I find it really hard, especially because I'm distracted all the time. I'm doing a million things at once while I'm listening to audiobooks. But I'll get like really distracted if I'm not listening to an audiobook I have not heard before, have not read before. So it has to be something that I already read. And I read a lot of the same books over and over again. I watch a lot of the same shows mm-hmm. over and over again. I think like for comfort, because you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, what are some of the books that you read over and over again? Some of the classics that are your favorite?
This episode of Myth Behaving is brought to you by the Bath Bomb Diva, producing fine handcrafted bath bombs and shower steamers. Scents ranging from fruits to floral to musks to weird French names, the Diva offers a wide selection for maximum olfactory goodness. Bath bombs are offered with and without prizes inside and made using water-soluble dyes for no messy residue. In honor of our second year with the Diva Lab is sending me a super secret new product to try. Because of how all these great products make me smell, in a good way, I can't wait to try this one out and report back. You can try all the Diva's creations at www.bathbombdiva.com. And thanks again to Bath Bomb Diva for sponsoring the show.
Oh my gosh. So right now, on top of everything else I'm doing, I am rereading Outlander by Deanna Galbadon. And it is, you guys, I'm sure you guys have read it or you've heard of it.
I haven't read it, but I watched the show.
Watch the show.
My gosh. And you know, the show, I love the show and I can't wait for it to come back on. It's literally the only reason why I have Stars. Mm-hmm. The app that I'm paying for is just mm-hmm. for that show. But the book, there's just so much world building and there's so much in the show too. I mean, mm-hmm. the scenes are just absolutely gorgeous, but mm-hmm. you know, the books just bring a different element to it. Even the Sookie Stackhouse books, which are True Blood, reading those two, and those kind of veer more from the storyline that they have in the TV show. Outlander kind of sticks basically to what's going on. There's some characters that they don't mention because they're kind of side characters in the book and they're not really, you know, meant to be, you know, in the show, you know, they're easily cut out. But yeah, those books, those are my go-tos, especially when I'm just like wanting to, you know, read something that's fun and something that's light. One of the series that I love from Brenda Joyce, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with her, but she doesn't write anymore. I believe she retired a few years ago, but she has a Master of Time series, which has to do with immortal heroes and a group of witch sisters that all end up meeting their Scottish Highland warrior. They're not vampires.
Ooh, that sounds like what I used to read in the late 90s mm-hmm. when I was in my Karen Murray moaning phase. I think
that is when I read it.
Oh, okay. So what's her name? Brenda Joyce?
Brenda Joyce. And it's the Master of Time series. And you can read the books out of order. But mm-hmm. the only thing is that the first book introduces all the witches. Right. And then each witch has her own book with her own Highlander. Nice. But Karen Mooney and her Highland mm-hmm. series is so amazing. Those were the books that I remember when I was raising my kids and they were very little. I would go to the supermarket and on the shelves there, they would have the books. And that's how I ended up getting into Brenda Joyce and Karen Mooney, just grabbing their books. They're so good. Nice. And I just can't find books like that anymore.
No, I was thinking, like, did you read the Fever series too?
I did not read the Fever series, but I know what you're talking about with the Fever series. I did not read that. I'm trying to think. The ones I read were like Highlander Kiss. I think there was another one like Mist of the Highlander. There was like a series of all the Highlanders.
Like 11 of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was.
Is totally not my normal genre. Like, I'm more of a mystery, suspense, romantic thriller in my reading for the most part. In my writing, I'm the complete opposite. I write paranormal, sci-fi, fantasy. I still like to read the, you know, Jack Reachers and all those and the mysteries and all that stuff. But for some reason, her writing just gripped me. And I really like. So if Brenda Joyce, I've been looking for someone too that has a series, like not just three books or four books, like a series. So
you know,
I'm a notepad. Yeah. Thank you. Nice.
Yeah, Tony, Tony, how do you feel that your reading influences your writing?
Oh, I mean, everything that I read, I mean, I think I take little pieces and not like, you know, plagiarizing, but when you read stuff and you like it, like look at vampires. I mean, vampires, people have been writing vampire books so long. And if you look at it, it all goes back to like the original, vampire story lore. So I pull so much inspiration and motivation, you know, by reading, you know, various vampire books. Love, you know, werewolf books as well. Love writing werewolf books. Love witches. Hybrids, you know, it's funny because I was a huge fan of Vampire Diaries and then the originals, and I love the hybrid Klaus, one of the main characters in the originals. But
Elijah.
Oh, Elijah too, though. I mean, Elijah's wonderful. He's right now. I've been making videos on my TikTok with him in it. I'm going through a phase right now of Elijah, and I have a book that I'm kind of working on the back burner, which I'm getting some inspiration from that. And I mean, if we just talk about inspiration, one of the books I am working on is taking inspiration just from Elijah. Now, if you're not familiar with the show, then you don't know Elijah, but I am pulling parts of his personality that I just love and like putting it into one of my characters. So, you know, I think that a lot of things that I watch and read and write, you know, I just, you know, kind of poke in, take a little bit of this, take a little bit of that, you know, and then just make it my own world.
Yeah, and yeah. I think most authors do that. Like, we're inspired by each other, and we want to write in similar worlds or similar veins, or we want a character who, you know, fits a certain archetype and make it our own still, but we certainly are inspired all the time. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And what are you working on right now?
So what I do, unlike what I forgot what your name was, not Rob. Was
Jen.
It
Jen?
Jen, yeah. So you were stating before that when you write until you're finished. Like if you're doing a series, you write until you're finished. I believe that's what you were kind of saying when I jumped in. So I don't do that. I am a hopper, so I work on many different things at one time. Right now. No, it's not. It's really not. It's almost a curse.
Oh, because no.
Because I jump from book to book to book. So right now I have about 5 books that I am currently going back and forth on. Some of them I'll just kind of like hit a wall and say, I'm not going to, you know, do any more with that. And I go on to another one. The one, let's just say the most recent in the last couple of days, what I have been writing, which is a book that I kind of put on the back burner about 2 years ago, is a contemporary dark romance about a girl who has multiple personalities. And her alter ends up basically escaping her husband and takes off for 6 months. Then she comes back. It's a whole revelation into mental illness, and she ends up, you know, her alter ends up meeting, you know, a male character that is a police officer. It's a little complicated, but we'll see how long that story lasts. I've gone to it a couple times over the years, and I kind of get stuck each time, just because I'm kind of worried about how the audience would take it, because I don't want to feel like I'm putting, you know, any kind of satire or anything on multiple personalities and mental illness. I want to make sure that it comes off in a respectable way and a believable way as well. I don't want it to be insulting.
Right.
No, yeah, I don't think anybody starts. Well, I mean, some authors start out to insult everybody, but that's their goal, right? I think most spec fic authors are not interested in insulting when we're writing characters. We're like, this is interesting. Let's explore and see what would happen with, you know, somebody in this world who has this thing. So, yeah, I think that it's at least worthy of being explored.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I guess that's what you can say I'm doing. I'm exploring like 30,000 words.
That's an exploration.
But it's still going. It still seems to be moving smoothly along, and it doesn't seem so far-fetched. But then I also have, like I said, I have the other book that I'm working on, which is a vampire romance that has the character that, you know, is inspired by Elijah from the originals. And that one is the female is a witch, but she does not know it. And they end up crossing paths, and then he ends up basically kidnapping her to use her to do his bidding for him. And of course, you know, you have enemies to lovers, and you know, forced proximity, and all the stuff that comes
all the fun tropey tropes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We love tropes
because they're comfortable. Yeah, we were talking.
Yes. Yeah. Some people like seriously just look for those, and that's all they will read.
Yeah.
I'm like, I wish I could break through to you people. There's just more out there than just one trope.
Yeah.
There's lots of tropes out there. There's a lot. There's like websites dedicated to them.
TV Tropes is one of my favorites.
I love
to
TV
go over
Tropes.
Yeah,
I haven't been there in a while.
Yeah, no, I use it a lot. So, Tony, what is a good book for a new reader who hasn't read anything that you've done? What's a good book for them to be introduced to you?
So, the last series that I had published, I'm still working on the third book, but the first two are out. It's The Whispers of Immortality is the first book. Mm-hmm. The second book is Whispers of Darkness. Mm-hmm. That book is about a Viking vampire that ends up in heaven, meets an angel. And while they're in heaven, something ends up happening. I'm not going to give it away, but he ends up being sent back. And when he gets sent back, he loses all memory of her. Mm-hmm. And if you had ever seen the show or the movie, actually, it's from 1980. It's called Made in Heaven.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. Yes.
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 It pulls a lot from that. So basically, he goes back as a vampire. She ends up, you know, being able to go back and be reborn so that they can meet each other without having any knowledge of each other. It's very soapy like. So that series, I love it. I'm working on getting that third book finished, and hopefully that should be done by the summer. I do have all my books on Audible as well. But that book it has romance, it has, you know, vampires and werewolves and witches, and mm-hmm. you know, it's super exciting. It's super epic as well.
Nice. And I assume some good fight scenes.
Oh, there's definitely some good fight scenes on there. And actually, as of today, the second book has been free. It'll be free until midnight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So,
yeah, it's a great book, though. It's a great series. And, you know, I had a lot of fun writing it. It's emotional. You know, it keeps you on the edge of your seat. And, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully the third book will wrap everything up. And it's just, it's been a lot of fun to write it.
And you're wrapping up that third, I know you don't want to put a date on it, but do you think this year, next year for that third book?
Oh, definitely this year. Definitely. Yeah. So I would like to have the release for that around Halloween. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm pushing for, mm-hmm. For a Halloween release on it. So, you know, knock on wood, as long as everything goes well, that should be the case. But I think that, you know, if people follow through, they're going to be very happy with how the last book ends.
And tell me what your most recent book is.
So that is my most recent book is, it's Whispers of Darkness. That was the most recent one, that was published, and that was published back, last year in the fall. Okay. So like I said, from then till now, I've just been writing, you know, other books and trying to get something else going for the year. And like I said, I'll dabble in all these stories, you know, with the five that I'm working on, I'll probably get one or two out of them before the year's over.
Awesome. Fantastic. Awesome.
Great.
Tony, it has been so great to have you on with us. I'm going to ask one more question before we wrap up. I want to know, you have so many fantastic characters. Which character would you want to go to dinner with and why?
Who would I want to go to dinner with? I would say, in my first book, my first ever book, Shifted was a werewolf romance. I would want to go to dinner with the male lead character, John, only because John was super alpha. You know, he's cocky, but he's also super protective. I think that he would have a lot of good conversation. Plus, he'd be like a complete gentleman. So he would be definitely the one I'd want to go sit and have dinner with.
Awesome.
Tony, it's been so great to have you on. Well, Jen, that wraps up another exciting episode exploring the imaginative worlds and creative minds behind some of the greatest sci-fi and fantasy stories out today.
That's right. We'd like to thank our guest, Tony Good, for joining us and sharing such fascinating insights into her writing process. Listeners, let us know what you thought of today's podcast on social media and which authors you'd like us to have on the show in the future.
Remember to check out Tony Good's latest book, Whispers of Darkness, available now wherever books are sold and also on Audible. Until next time, keep those fantasy sci-fi flags flying high. This has been Myth Behaving with Jen
and Rob.